Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats, health and wellness advice for women over 40 and beyond with Amanda Thebe. This is a show full of hot topics specifically for hot women. Amanda Thebe is a force of nature for women who are experiencing menopause hell and want to start feeling healthy and fit in their 40s and beyond. Through her very frank articles, podcasts, and hilarious social media presence, she's here to help you with informative advice while making you laugh like a 20-year-old throughout. Her raging fans have called her an unstoppable inspiration, resilient bitch. Please visit us at fitandchips.com. And now, here's your host, Amanda Thebe.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Fit and Chips Chats. I'm Amanda Thebe, and today I have on the show Bex Armstrong, all the way from Australia, Scotland, now in London. Welcome to the show, Bex.
No, welcome, Amanda. Thank you.
I'm just going to tell people a little bit about you and then one of the reasons why we're chatting today. Bex is a degree-educated acupuncturist. She's worked in health science in Australia. I loved what she was doing there. Bex worked alongside medical teams using acupuncture and her really during for women during pregnancy. The main age range of people she worked with were between 38 and 40. And then what happened is, while Bex was working with these women through either natural or IVF pregnancies and through birth, she realized that a lot of these women were perimenopausal. And so she realized that there was like a whole area of women in the medical community that weren't being served. And so that was like something that stuck in the back of Bex's mind. I love that. She then fell in love with a Scotsman. I know how that feels. I went and did the same thing 4 hours since, moved to the UK and also changed career into this tech-savvy social media guru and also app builder. And so going from it being in the health industry to the tech industry is usually the opposite way around to what most of us women do. We end up in the health industry. Like we were saying, there's so many 40-year-old yoga teachers, which isn't a bad thing, but it's just seems more typical. Bex then, anyway, created this app called Clarity. And that's why she's on today. And we're going to talk about this in depth. But I just really like the approach and everything that you're doing, Bex. So welcome on the show. Hello. And tell me a bit more about yourself.
Hi, Amanda. Thank you. That's a really lovely intro. As you said, I'm a degree-educated acupuncturist. I have worked for many years with women's health and have a real desire to make sure that women are served in a way that can be both integrative with Western medicine or through the natural different ways that we can serve people. So I am 44, so this is, I'm in the right area for being one of the candidates that are using both my app but also listening to your podcast, which has been great.
So you moved to the UK, you're in this tech business and it's all going fine, and then you enter perimenopause and you realize that there's like a lack of information out there, which we continually talk about on the podcast, but also that there's things that you know that from just your history and your education and your experience that women can be doing right now in their lives and they're sort of not having access to. And you found this information from talking to your friends, am I correct? Like as well as your own experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, it was mainly talking to my friends. I started creating a pregnancy app and for mindfulness, just to test it out to see if anybody would like it. And what I found was all my friends were saying, oh, I wish there was something that we could have that would help us going through menopause, hot flushes, night sweats, and general just stress and anxiety from their busy lives, busy with kids, busy without kids, management jobs. So when I actually went and did my research, I found that there was nothing out there that specifically targeted the needs of the women that in that mindfulness way as a tech app. I went about and created it.
There is apps out there though. You know, there are mindfulness apps out there. So yeah. We don't need to name them, but we just know that there's access to them. So why is yours different and why is it specific to menopausal women?
Yeah, so no, there's definitely apps and I'm really happy if people go and use them. The generic apps and you can get some with packets specific for different things like pregnancy. But what you'll generally find is that they are very generic, very broad. There's also 10,000 sessions that you can listen to. And What I found when I was talking to, because I've done a lot of market research and listened to a lot of women and a lot of their stories, what I found was overwhelm was one of the biggest problems that they had. So how do you choose when there's 10,000 sessions, how do you choose the one that's going to be the best for you? And that actually helped inform the app. So what I did was I went and did my research, I paired it back and found the specific things that are sort of consistent across the board for women that are in their 40s and beyond. So 40s, 50s, 60s, and even 70s I checked with.
Well, you know, I mean, I always say menopause is for life. after you've got it, you don't get rid of it. And
yeah, that's
I think
it.
that's one of the biggest myths and misconceptions that I'm trying to explore right now. And it's that, you know, you're going to spend half of your life, maybe a third of your life in that postmenopausal.
That's it. Yeah, you have your period for a lot shorter than you're alive. You know, your period is only really for 20 years, but you can live till easily in your 80s these days. So it's just one of those things of 20, maybe 30 years, but still you have a long life other than having your period. So for me, it was also as women are aging, where it seems to be that we're becoming a lot more anxious and a lot more overwhelmed, certainly when we're getting into our 40s and we're getting the brain fog, but you're in management positions, your kids are all going through either puberty or heading into university, depending, or even that they're young, depending on when you had your kids. So you're trying to deal with all of the different things right at the same time as your hormones going crazy.
And the losing the estrogen we know is directly related to the increased anxieties and stresses that we...
Yeah, and brain fog. Yep, that's right.
The cognitive impairment. I would actually say just words. The inability to use them.
Or remember them.
You know, when you make conversation and you actually say, anyway... And then it goes. And it's not even just the thought that goes, it's the actual word. Or you may say a word that doesn't make any sense to the conversation. I do that all the time and I just leave it. I run with it and think, hopefully they didn't.
Good for you.
Yeah. So coming back to this, I know you did your market research.
Yeah.
Sort of have done that myself in probably a less structured way than you, as I do my online coaching. And I pulled together this structured program. It's very specific, very, you know, organized. And I don't think I could have made it any simpler. And one of the feedback I got, and it wasn't from everyone, but from some of the women, was like, I get so overwhelmed when I get so much information. Is there any way you can make this simpler? And so I know that simple is better.
Yeah.
As we go. And it's not that we're simple and we can't cope with the information. It's just the chances of us doing something more actionable when we know we can do it and we can fit it in with our lifestyle and we can cope with it. The chances are you're going to be more successful, right?
Yeah, there was two things that I found in the research. When women are looking for something, there's two real ways they want to do it. They want to go and find what they want to get right now, so they know what specifically they're looking for, or they like to browse. So they want to be able to see what might be available. So what we did was we created the app with two main funnels. So you can go into the app and see sort of it broken down into sections of mindfulness, sleep, breathing, background sounds, and what we call apple a day, which is the symptoms of menopause. And then we've got down the bottom of the app is a little yellow star, and that is tailored recommendations. So if you've got night sweats, for instance, you can click on night sweats and all the sessions that are appropriate for you come up. So you only get four sessions or so to be able to choose from that are specific to what you actually need. So you don't have to go and find it in the app. You just say, that's what I need. And that way we found it was easy enough to work around, because you just sometimes just need something.
I agree. And going back to like not having 10,000 things to look at, like that was one of the nicest things. Well, first of all, I'm a graphic designer of old, so I love the visual. I found that really appealing. It's calm, the colors are calm, and it's very easy to navigate. All of those things really matter to me. I like the fact that when you've got the packs, you know, you can do mindfulness, you can do sleep, you can do the hot flashes and all of those. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. It took me a long time to truly appreciate like the power of breath. And I mean this in a way like for calming down anxiety and depression, because I've always understood the power of breath when it comes to the physical. And we can talk about that later, like how we can activate and engage our muscles using our breath and alleviate pain, but never really the anxiety, depression, or the cognitive improvements that can happen. And until I started being someone who had anxiety and depression and losing words, and then I realized how it's like a savior for this. But I am the person that like just wants it right now. And I don't want to browse, and I just want you to show me what to do now. I don't even want to wait. And I like that. Yeah, I like your 1 minute one. And just before we came on the call, I did the 1 minute breathing. And you know, the coolest thing about it for me is I could pick whether I wanted it to be the infinity, the circle, or the wave. And I was like, oh my God, I get to pick as well. So
you can even do a background or not a background. If you want a sound of rain, you can have the sound of rain. Or my personal favorite is a metronome sound of a windscreen wiper inside a car in the rain.
That would drive me insane. But I know people like white noise like that. Like,
yeah, I like that. It just makes me just nod off to sleep. So it's just a consistency of the sound, actually, the windscreen wipers. But yes, we did that on purpose. So the wave is one that I designed myself because that was one that I tested in my original app. But everybody likes their own way. And I don't think that we should just give one way to do something. Choice makes you feel better.
But not
too much.
Yeah, yep. Not too much choice. That's great. So let's talk a little bit more about the science behind the breathing, because it's okay like talking about an app, I think people really need to know like why like the breathing is super important. Now I also want to sort of like try and like get rid of like the whole misconception as well about taking time to breathe. Like, so I have like 20 years of yoga behind me. I sat in a cave with a guru, like with a sadhu, and I went, you know, I did all of the praying and everything, and I don't have a spiritual bone in my body. I literally think as long as I have a hole in my bum, I'm never going to be spiritual. And I've tried. Don't believe me, I've tried. I went to India to try. And so one of the reasons I held back from trying is because I was like, that's just not my thing. I'm not like a hippie. I don't want to sit with my legs crossed. And so let's clear up misconceptions to start with, and then we'll talk about why science has shown us this is important.
So I'm also not overwhelmingly spiritual in any way. I'm open to anybody having whatever they want to do. But for me, the app isn't created with that in mind. It's actually more evidence-based than spiritually based, if you like. There's definitely no mention of spirits or gods or any deity at all. So there's nothing that is in there. So definitely not part of what this process is. So
it's not. And I think that though we need to start moving away from thinking that the only people that do those type of activities are like not, you know, are all the yogis and the spiritual people. It's just not true. I mean, this is now becoming mainstream in our health service, right? Well, it definitely in North America. I don't know about the UK right now.
It's starting to get there, actually. It's not, I don't think we're too far away. Certainly in Australia, there's a really big movement in Australia for mindfulness. And also, my app, you don't have to sit for half an hour with your legs crossed and just do nothing. It's guided visualization or mindfulness. So I talk you through a process. Whether you want to relax, there are some relaxation sessions on there, or there's some straight mindfulness. It just is fast. Most of them are less than 9 minutes. So it's not something that you have to take out big parts of your day. There is, I think the longest session is 17 minutes, and that's a waking up in the morning one. But we've edited it so that you can do a faster one if you want to do the faster one. It just doesn't include a body scan. So most of it you can do either lying down, sitting in a chair. You can stand if you like. It's not, there's no process that you have to follow.
Can you do it sat on a bus?
Yeah, I did it, sat on the bus. I actually missed my stop. I was sort of just breathing and aware of where I was sitting and what I was doing, but not thinking about what I had to do next. I got myself into it. I missed two stops of my bus. So, yes, you can do it on the bus. You can't do it driving because that's not appropriate, but you can breathe while you're driving. It's just not appropriate to be doing an actual session. So, but I would appreciate people breathing while they drive.
So now the science behind this, right?
So the science is really clear that if you have a longer exhale than you do an inhale, that your heart rate goes down. And I work very much on the Papworth method of breathing, which is a really, it's a shorter inhale, longer exhale. And what it does is it brings down your heart rate and it increases your heart rate variability. So if you imagine that you're very stressed and very wound up, you're about to go into a meeting, for instance, with somebody that you know is going to be a bad meeting, your heart rate becomes the actual up and down wave of your heart rate becomes tighter and shorter, and the space between each beat becomes faster. So taking a breath even doing the 1 or 2 minute or 3 minute mindfulness before that meeting will slow your heart rate very fast. It will increase your variability of the wave of your heart rate to make it higher, softer, and then the increment between each beat slows down. To do that, it will make your head clearer. It will make you able to think better and find those words that you can't find, and it will reduce your stress level.
And you said you use the Papworth method?
The Papworth method of breathing, which is the Papworth Hospital had created a way of breathing to help asthmatics really get down into their diaphragm and open up their lungs. So it's a method that it's deep belly breathing, but it's a slower out than an in. So it's really good for asthmatics, but even just every day, if you do a really good deep belly breath, you'll find that your diaphragm is quite tight. Like I find it even myself. I do a lot of breathing, obviously. This is something that I truly believe in. But even I find that sometimes I can get anxious and my diaphragm is tight. So
I'm just going to clarify that for someone listening that maybe doesn't truly understand what it means to have a tight diaphragm. I mean, we both know because it's part of our work to know that. But can you describe physically what it feels like to have a tight diaphragm?
Okay, so the diaphragm is located between the lungs and the large intestine, so it's kind of halfway between. And it is a sort of a round, I'm going to say it's like a disc, that when you breathe out and slow, deep breath out, pushing your belly out as you breathe in, you'll find that actually you feel some constriction in under the breastplate of your lungs, sort of where you do the cardiac massage. You'll find there is actually really it's hard to push it out, and the more that you deep breathe, the more that you'll actually find either resistance or it'll start to open up. If you can get that to start to open, if you feel the resistance and you can start to open it up, you actually just start to feel a bit better. Slow down.
A really great description of it. I often will say that when you're tighten the diaphragm and you really don't, because the diaphragm is a muscle, we need to explain that, and it can be exercised, and so the breathing is part of that exercise. And is that when you have a tight diaphragm or you're stressed, you tend to feel like you're breathing into your upper chest or even your traps, like your shoulders and your neck, and the whole thing just feels horrid. And then the minute that you start to be able to sort of open up the diaphragm and just use that as part of the breathing mechanism, it just feels so different. It just feels like your ribs expand out to the side and in the front, and it really is so good for you, just not physically but mentally as well. I mean, I'm a big proponent of diaphragmatic breathing because, as we were just chatting before the show, a lot of women through menopause really do struggle with pelvic floor issues and the lack of ability to stabilize the core and contract the core. And the extended exhalation when you breathe, say if you breathe in for one and out for four, just I'm sure that's not exactly what it is, but as you do that last breath, that 3-4, you should feel a slight contraction in the lower abdominal wall, the transverse abdominis, and a slight lift in the pelvic floor too, which is also so good through menopause.
Yes.
So for me, like, it's a double win. As well as de-stressing, you're getting a nice tight vagina.
Tight, so cool.
You're queen bee. That's great. And so is there any way that you could, like, as we come to the end of the show, could you talk me through a 1 minute, like, breath, a mindfulness breath? Because I just think it might be really good for someone who now understands the science and understands that these things can really help them through menopause. But what does that feel like and what does that look like? Hopefully, maybe going for a walk or the sat down listening to this. I'm putting her on the spot here, by the way, everyone. But
that's okay. So one of the things that I'll explain also is that I generally will ask you to breathe in and out of your nose. And the reason that I ask you to do that is because it will lower your cortisol levels faster. So cortisol being one of the stress hormones in your body. Cortisol is one of those hormones that if you breathe in and out of your nose, you will slow that process down of the release of cortisol. And so it'll help you feel better. Doing a nice deep belly breath, you breathe in and your belly will rise. And then you breathe out and your belly will fall. So that's just a setup to let you know what I'm going to get you to do. Okay.
Guys, I'm doing it. I'm actually going to do it with you. So I'm excited. Okay. Just do a few breaths just so we understand the process.
Right. So we'll just, what we'll do is a really nice and easy process of breathing. I don't want to put it on a clock, but we'll just close your eyes for a second. And concentrate on breathing in and out of your nose and just take your awareness nicely into your nose. So as you breathe, just feel the air coming in nice and cool and then out. It'll be warmer. And as you breathe in, start to breathe nice and deeply into your belly and out, relaxing your belly down. Inhale, belly rise. And exhale, belly fall. Feel the awareness of your breath as you take your deep breath in and out. Watching the air as it goes from your lungs out your nose and then back in again. Relax your muscles as you breathe out. Just feel your body relax. So that's it. I can even feel myself as I even talk about it, relax down.
I want to cuddle somebody and hug someone.
it's just nice, you know. It's nice to stop even for a minute.
So now the rest of the podcast should be awesome because I've got words because I've just improved my cognitive ability. So, we understand what it feels like to breathe if you went along and tried that now. So I'm having a hot flash. I'm like, this is the thing I'm struggling with. It's probably worse towards the end of the day or at night. Like, how can this help?
I specifically designed something that would be fast and efficient for women with a hot flush. So basically, one of the biggest problems with hot flushes is they always come at some inopportune time where you're desperate not to have the hot flush. So either in a meeting or you're with somebody and all of a sudden you get the heat rising. One of the first things to do is to let it come, because by actually accepting it in and not fighting it, kind of going, oh, it's coming, by allowing it to come in, it actually reduces the power of the and severity of the hot flash. First things first, let it in. And then the second thing is to then go to a cold place. So we know that regulating the mind is so powerful that whatever your mind can perceive, your body can achieve. So if you take yourself to a very cold environment, you can almost balance out that body so that you can allow the sweat cycle to happen. So you need to sweat to be able to cool your system down, but you'll find that you regulate a lot better. And doing a few deep breaths, going to somewhere cold and then coming back again is actually a really nice, fast way to try and get yourself through the hot flash. But listening to the hot flash a couple of times, we call it the insta-cool, listening to that a couple of times, you actually get used to what you have to do. So you take a deep breath, you let it in, and then you take yourself off to a place so that if it happens in a meeting, you don't need to listen to the app. You've got the tools you need.
I just need to go to the bathroom for 1 minute. I'll be back in a minute and come back and it's all good.
Yeah.
No, I understand that. That's great. And then one of the other big symptoms that happen when we go through menopause and the estrogen drops is our inability to sort of like go to sleep at night. And I'm a big proponent of like getting like a bedtime ritual. You know, the lack of screen times, reduce the caffeine and the alcohol and read a book. And so how can this then process help with that?
So I'm a big believer of a nighttime routine. Make sure it's dark, make sure it's cool. I like sort of making sure that for me, I do a grateful journal at night and then think about what I'm going to look forward to the next day. That's sort of something I personally like. So what I did when I was creating the sleep sessions is that I can take you through the process of thinking of what you're grateful for during the day. So one of the things that we do know about gratefulness is that it helps you, if you're grateful through the day and you prepare at night for and you're grateful before going to sleep, you'll have a better sleep and you'll look forward to finding the gratefulness in your day, which will help with anxiety and it helps with depression and it helps with low mood and self-esteem and also with loneliness. So if you're grateful about the interactions you've had with people, you'll seek out more interactions. So the theory goes. So the sessions that we've created, I've done a couple of sleep sessions. There's a man that speaks because sometimes women like listening to men as they go to sleep and sometimes they like women. So I've got a nighttime one with Murray, who's an ex-BBC journalist newsreader. So he's Scottish and he's lovely and he's relaxing and he can drift you off to sleep by being grateful. And then his session has got a crackling fire because it's comforting to some people. And my session is just generally winding you down to go to sleep. But we've also got things for when you wake, because we would all love 8 hours and of straight sleep and deep relaxation when we wake, but it's not possible for people that have kids that wake up, or if you wake up to go to the toilet, or if you wake up for a night sweat. So we've got some ideas of going into a garden or walking around a national park or being in cool water to help you go back to sleep, because it is so important to be able to go back to sleep. So
it is. That's a huge problem with menopausal women, is that waking in the middle of the night. It's always at 3 minutes past 2 o'clock in the morning. And then you lie there for an hour. And one of the things I've found that helps from that is acceptance, which I think is basically, you know, you're saying it's part of the process as well.
Yes,
if I fight it and panic that I'm not going to get enough sleep, I won't go back to sleep. But if I accept it and think it's okay, because when you fall back to sleep, you've still got 5 more hours. It's awesome. it seems to help me. But so this is so great. So this app is a subscription service. I sort of want to just like clarify that, but there's a lot of free information on there, and there's some free protocols as well. I believe that the hot flashes, the Insta-cool, is something that's always there.
It's always going to be free. So we have a selection of sessions so that you can hear sort of what it sounds like. And then it's just one monthly subscription, or you can pay for a year. You don't pay for the different bundles or packs in the app. It's just one subscription and everything opens up. And What we're going to be doing, there's a lot more sessions that are going to be coming, and there's also going to be education that we're going to be doing, just really simple things to help women understand their bodies. Because for my many years as an acupuncturist, what I found was there's simple things that we don't know about our bodies. It can even be like, when do I ovulate? How do I know that I've ovulated? And obviously, as you're perimenopausal, going into menopause, that's not as important. But understanding how your cycle works, how your body works, how your mind interacts with your body is something that's very important to me to make sure that women understand.
Well, I actually think it does help through menopause, because even though your periods may be disruptive and not on a regular cycle and they may be heavy or light, yeah, the symptoms tend to be the same, and you can still go through ovulation without a period. And so I know when I'm ovulating, because I literally could mount any man that walks by in the street, and then I hear everybody in the human race the week before my period would turn up if I ever had one, and also the physical symptoms. So I think just having an understanding of what your body may or may not do during those times is, I'm a big proponent of like doing diaries, like either a menstrual diary or a menopause diary, just to get you having an awareness or just a body awareness of, you know, what's happening. Then things aren't so confusing for you. If you recognize the signs and now you have the ability to cope and have strategies in place, I'm all solution driven.
I'm very preventative medicine based. So I kind of think that the more that you can do to help yourself by good food, by having a good routine to help you off to sleep, by just becoming really aware that your mind can sometimes play tricks on you. I'm a big believer in CBT, that you should challenge some of those negative thoughts and look for the good that can happen. I think that we can really make big life changes in very small increments. So also that not everybody is the same, and their menopause can be very different to your friends, or, you know, happen at a different time or a different severity. So also being very kind to yourself. I think that we beat ourselves up to live this superhuman life that doesn't exist. So talking about it, self-care, looking after yourself and being kind to yourself is actually really important.
And I know that Becky, you are doing a Becky. I've just stuck a Y on the end of your name there. I'm getting very familiar with you here, Beck. Sorry. Is that you are really being quite vocal about menopause, and I love that. I know that you're trying to reach out in many different ways. So everybody keep an eye out for Becky.
Yes.
I'm going to link everything into the podcast. So you'll be able to find all of the work that Bex is doing with her team. I'd like to say thank you for coming on the show. This was very informative. I loved my little meditation session. Thank you very much. I feel wonderful now.
My pleasure. Fantastic. Oh, I've really enjoyed talking to you, actually. Thank you very much, Amanda.
Okay. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Tune in next week for another episode of Fit and Chips Chats. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on the services offered by Amanda, please head over to her website at fitandchips.com. That's FITNCHIPS.com, or her Fit and Chips Facebook page. Leave a comment and she promises to respond to all questions. The views and advice expressed by Amanda Thebe are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider.